As conveyed in several recent sermons, and hopefully from one's own personal relationship with the Lord, each of us recognize Jesus as the great I Am. When he referred to himself as the bread of life and as the light of the world. Throughout John's Gospel, Jesus offers a trilemma. If you'll remember that word I used a couple of weeks ago. Not a dilemma, but a trilemma, which is where equally exclusive yet conflictual conclusions about who he is. And what's really most important is who he really is to you. Each of us, we need to choose for ourselves. Do you resolve that the I Am a liar? Do you resolve that I am a lunatic or someone possessed by a demon? Or do you believe him when Jesus clearly stated, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In John chapter 8, verse 58, now again, for the third time in this chapter alone, Jesus plainly declared that he was Yahweh incarnate. The title of the eternal God, the voice of the covenant God of Israel, revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, where God says, "I am who I am." What I cannot understand is that for many then, as well as today, Jesus' message was not received audibly. I just thought that was excellent. See, next week we're going to have all, flares and things going off and light shows. But you couldn't have gotten that in there. The battery couldn't have done it at any better time. So what they're saying is, do not leave the mic in front of you. What I cannot understand is that for many then and today, that Jesus' message was not received. And I can say audibly now because it won't happen again. And visually, clear enough. It was not heard or seen clear enough. So because Jesus loved us and loves those lost souls so much, he continued to use metaphors and parables relating to real life experiences to convey his true identity as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Anointed One. If you will please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And let's begin our scripture passage today reading at verse 1. When Jesus declared that he is the door and that he is the good shepherd. Both of these titles, the door and the good shepherd, are Old Testament concepts that were very familiar to those who gathered around to see him face to face and to hear his teaching. John chapter 10, verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold." Now, the sheepfold is where the sheep would go to sleep safely. It also, just if you want to, write this in the margins of your personal Bible, is that the sheepfold was relating to Judaism. "So truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by any another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Now, quite frankly, on a side note, let me tell you, the thief and robbers were the Jews, the Pharisees, the ones that were trying to kill Jesus. He was trying to tell them, "You guys are the thieves and the robbers." Verse 2, "But he who enters by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. In some translations, the door says the gates, which is relating to who? The door is relating to Jesus, who is the way to life. Verse 3, to him the gatekeeper, which is God, opens, and the sheep. I thought this was very interesting. When he talks about the sheep here, he's actually talking about the Jewish believers. To him, the gatekeeper opens the sheep, hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, when he had brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I can tell you right now, my son Justice has a beagle, and his name is Max. And I, as much as my children would like to have another dog at our house, I try to not do that. But you can't help it when you got a loving dog. And every time Max hears my voice, he goes into a fit. And it's interesting that his response to my voice is the same response that we as sheep should have to Jesus' voice. It is that excitement in hearing his voice. Around there, around Jesus, are those also of the Pharisees that had already heard about Jesus healing a man born blind in the previous chapter, in chapter 9. Real quickly, so that verse 19 and 21 make more sense. In chapter 9, Jesus reiterated that he was the light of the world. And here it is, a man born at birth with blindness. Jesus spat on the ground, made a clay spittle, and anointed the man's eyes and told him to go wash it in the pool. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Now his neighbors asked, how is it that your eyes are opened? And he answered, well, there was a guy by the name of Jesus, but I don't know where he is right now. Now, interestingly enough, this healing happened on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees were looking for any way in order to go after Jesus. So they brought the man before the Pharisees and they asked him over and over and over again, how is it that you're able to receive sight? And they said, this man is not from God, for he cannot keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? So there was this division amongst the crowd and the Pharisees. So they said to the blind man, what do you say about him? What do you say about him? Since he opened your eyes, he says, oh, he must be a prophet. Now the Jews, and again, when we talk about reading the word the Jews, in the Gospel of John, John is not talking about all the Jews. He's talking about specific religious leaders, false prophets, bad shepherds, who had led the people astray through false doctrine, prioritizing themselves over the sheep, and they even abused the sheep. These Jews did not believe that this blind man had been healed from blindness. And so what did they do? Anybody remember? They called his parents. So his parents came in and they said, we know that he's our son and that he was born blind. But you see, they didn't want to say anything because they were afraid that if they said that Jesus was the Christ, was the Messiah, the Pharisees were going to kick them out of the synagogue. So what did the parents do? So the synagogue has abandoned this blind man. The parents have abandoned this blind man. And what did the parents say to the Pharisees? He's of age. Go ask him. So that they didn't have to answer, see, about who they thought Jesus was. So the Pharisees declared, give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. But the one blind man answered, listen, this is great. Whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. We need to be able to say that as sheep, that once we were blind, now we see. So the Pharisees asked again about Jesus opening his eyes. Now, listen, this is probably, if he was blind from birth, he probably was not educated, probably didn't have hardly anything. He'd already been abandoned by his religious synagogue. He's already been abandoned by his parents, and these Pharisees are pushing him and pushing him. And here's his testimony for you and for me. I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? I love this. I'm sorry about the little sarcasm here, but I love it at the same time. Do you too want to become one of his disciples? And they hated him, saying, we know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. And the blind man answered, why is this a marvel? You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And so what did they do? They casted the blind man out. Now in verse 35 of chapter 9, I want you to see this. John 9:35 to 41. Jesus heard that they had casted the blind man out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man, once blind man, said, he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe. If in my entire time as a pastor of a church, in my entire time as a Christian here on earth, in the entire time that the Lord deems me worthy enough to serve him and the body of Christ, if there was one thing that I would want anybody that I had influence on to be able to say, Lord, I believe. Coming from anything that I said, anything that I did, my behavior, my attitude, my actions, that leads a person to say, Lord, I believe, that they believe in Jesus Christ. There it is. There it is. Spiritually seen for the first time. And this once blind man now has begun an abundant life after his parents abandoned him, after the synagogue had abandoned him. And what did the once blind man do after confessing Jesus as Lord? He worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see or claim to see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, to Jesus, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you are blind, again, I think right here, right now, he's talking about spiritual blindness. If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say that you could see, your guilt remains. You see, if they were not spiritually blinded, they would have seen what the once blind man now sees. And what is it that the once blind man now sees? The once blind man not physically seeing, but recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah. Recognizing who was standing right in front of him. And because these Pharisees and Sadducees and these Jews that hated Jesus could not see who was standing right in front of him, their guilt remained. Consequently, picking up back in chapter 10 at verse 19, so to flip the page there, chapter 10, verse 19, as we end this scripture part, I just love telling the background story because I thought it's fascinating, the testimony that this blind man gave. Verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words, and many of them said, he has a demon. And he is mad, or a lunatic, or a liar. Why listen to this person named Jesus? And others said, these are not the sayings of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? May the Lord bless you as we read God's word together. Now, Jesus here uses two metaphors. We have the door and we have the good shepherd. The door, or the gates, actually comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verse 20. And when we talk about the good shepherd, he's contrasting that with the false prophets or the bad shepherds, which is very, very common in the Old Testament, found in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, to describe himself as the true shepherd. And each one of us, including our children, could probably say at least the first line of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he is the only way a person can enter into the sheepfold of God's saved people, through the one who did, and in fact did, gave his life for those whom he knows and who he protects. Jesus said he would gather and care for them and be going through him. He would keep them safe while at the same time being the door that stops thieves from entering and sheep escaping. Much like we heard in our children's message. Who were these thieves in Jesus' day? They were the self-serving Jewish religious leaders who were only good to themselves. Today, thieves that try to snatch God's precious sheep. Who are some of these thieves and robbers today? Well, it would include radical atheists. I believe it would include false teachers who claim a person can save themselves by any other mean except and apart from Christ. I believe that these thieves and robbers are religious advocates who know little of forgiveness and little of God's love. And I believe that these thieves and robbers are even Christian leaders who attract their congregation away from Christ, away from proclaiming the gospel, away from making disciples, away from serving one another, and they use it to focus on themselves or preach a prosperity gospel. Those are some of our thieves and robbers today. In contrast, the Good Shepherd, which, by the way, one of the things that I ask you to be praying about for me is that every day I ask the Lord, please make me a better, caring, compassionate shepherd. I need your prayers. My family needs your prayers. I am submitting to the Lord. I can't grunt out being a good shepherd. I need to make sure that I am submissive. I am faithful. I am obedient. I am compassionate. I seek holiness. Because I would lay down my life for this congregation. But a good shepherd comes, he gives his life sacrificially for the sheep God gives him. Or her. And I would do that. A good shepherd shows sympathy for the sheep who need a pastor. A good shepherd who seeks for the lost, the sheep who had not yet believed. You recall in Luke chapter 15, where the shepherd left the 99 in the sheepfold, and he went out in the middle of the night when it was dangerous, and he went out to look for the lost sheep. This illustrates a marvelous way how much Jesus came and cares for his sheep. How much Jesus cares for you and for me, because he was willing and did go to the cross to give his life for the sheep. My prayer is to my dying breath that I would do the same for you. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the freely chosen act of His death, Jesus shows the way to abundant life. Jesus is the door and offers an abundant life by the example of His love. The example of His love as the Good Shepherd. Herein lies again the plain truth before you today. Jesus is truly the great I Am. He proclaims that He is the door. For it is only through believing in Him as your personal Lord and Savior can you be shown how to experience an abundant life. I cannot believe that anybody would not want to be on the path of the abundant life. This is a life in all of its fullest. It's a life in relationship with God, revealed in Christ Jesus and made present by the Holy Spirit. It is a quality of life that even death cannot destroy. Jesus declared Himself as the Good Shepherd because He offers truly unconditional love for and will take care of those who put their trust in following Him. He is the entrance. He is the entrance to eternal life. He feeds us. He protects us. As our young kids said, He provides for us and gives us a life in all of its fullness. I don't understand why anyone who has never received Christ into their life as their personal Lord and Savior would not want to do that and do that today. They are still living in darkness. They're still living in sin. They need to step forward. You need to step forward through the door and into the light. Come forward now to receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His gracious forgiveness of all of your sins, and experience an everlasting fellowship with Him. Jesus has an eternal plan for you. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus says, "I am the door and the good shepherd." He has revealed Himself and will continue to reveal Himself to you. Why does He do that? Why does He keep on bugging me about this? Because He loves you just as you are. You don't have to give up anything. You don't have to do anything except to receive Him. Like no one else can or ever will love you. He went to the cross for you. He wants to give you eternal life. My question is, do you hear Him? Do you see Him? Or are you deaf and are you blind? Will you step out in faith and receive Him as your own good shepherd? He's waiting for you right now. You come.